From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made on Primary Day later this month. Do you know offhand what day is Primary Day? Granted, it's a pretty light slate of candidates in most places this year for the primary, but every November, the general election gets plenty of coverage, and yet the primary is often where the winners are chosen, given gerrymandering and electoral advantages. Tuesday, June 25th will be the primary election this year. And what about registration deadlines? What about party affiliation rules? Who can vote, etc.? Looking ahead to November, do you feel comfortable casting votes all the way down the ballot for the various races? Do you know who is running? Yes, it's a presidential election year. And as our guests will tell you this hour, that will get plenty of coverage on NPR and everywhere. What about all the other choices that you'll have on your ballot? Well, WXXI News has launched a new election hub, complete with information on everything from voting sites, registration information, candidate profiles, prominent issues. My colleagues have done an outstanding job putting it together, making it very easy to use, and we hope it becomes the place that you go before you vote in any election, primary or general. And here to kind of walk us through it and maybe answer some questions that listeners may have are some of the absolute masterminds behind it, and that is David Strever. He's the chief WXXI mastermind, or he's the director of digital product, I think. Is that your actual title?
That's the actual
title,
I just think
of you as WXXXI chief mastermind.
I love it.
Let's get that in there. Put it on a business card. Jeremy Moll is the deputy editor at WXXI News. Welcome back, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And sometime we'll see if Brian Sharp shows up, that derelict who's supposed to be here. Investigations and Enterprise reporter. There's been a lot of work that has gone into this. And frankly, for a number of years, Jeremy, I mean, when you're a small staff, I mean, we're proud of the staff and the size and the work that happens here, but there are a lot of races to cover.
There are.
And, you know, every time we get around elections, it's like, gosh, if we just had like a centralized hub. And I know listeners have asked for that. So this is kind of it, right? Tell me about, how do you see the goal, the mission here?
Yeah, I mean, this is our attempt to do that. This is our attempt to put basic information right all in one place, right at people's fingertips. You know, it's right now our immediate focus really has been to give people the basic tools and information they need on voting candidates and issues.
And David Strever has helped put this thing together. We're going to talk coming up here about how the not only the inspiration for this, but frankly, you know, if this is going to work, it needs traffic. People need to find it. So we'll talk about that coming up here. But let's start with this. It was a soft launch last week. If people do want to find it, it is live now, right, David Strever? Yes?
That's correct. Yeah, we've got a little bug on the homepage, a promo just below the top stories. And also WXXINews.org/elections will bring you to this.
WXXINews.org/elections. WXXINews.org/connections is us. So easy to remember, very, very simple. And listeners, I already have a couple of emails from listeners, one about judicial races. We'll talk about that, sure. But really, what I want to know from listeners this hour is, do you feel like you can get the information you need efficiently before you vote? And again, as our guest will tell you, we're not talking about Biden, Trump. We're not talking about a presidential race. We're talking about everything on your ballot, referendums, state senate, assembly, judges, yes, everything. And so 844-295-TALK is the number to call. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. What do you want to see covered? Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to build off of something you said earlier. You know, there's a lot of races. There's a lot of things to focus on. We're leaving the presidential race to the national media. It's going to be very well covered there. When we looked at the elections this year, where we thought we could truly be of value was the state legislative races, the county clerk race. And some of the referendums that'll be on the ballot.
Referenda, is that the plural of referendum? I think the plural of referendum is referenda.
Oh, we're going to have to consult the dictionary on that one.
I'm going to say referendums. I think that is a perfect example of an area where voters are often frustrated, right?
Yes, and especially since a lot of the referendums are not put to them in plain language, or they're very brief and don't explain what they're really going to do.
I'm told, by the way, it's either or, referenda or referendums.
Everybody's right.
Everybody's right. Referenda, if you want to feel really sharp. But there you go. And Kathy, the other thing that was sort of on my mind that we hear from listeners a lot, and this has surprised me in 10 years. In 10 years of hosting this show, we try to cover pretty much all candidates who will be on the ballot. I mean, you can't do, if there's a legislative body with dozens, you can't always do every one of them. But we try to do, before the elections, on Connections, those who will come on, hopefully together, some will not come on together, but we try to do everybody. And I kind of thought 10 years ago, like, well, we'll do the candidates for judgeships, but that might be a little bit of a snooze. It is not. It can be dry, I guess, but listeners will say, I don't know how to vote for judges. Like, why are they even on a ballot? And here's an example. Kathy writes, I hope this hour addresses how to find more information on judges running for election. This is the area I find hardest to navigate because it is also obscure. Their campaign websites essentially say nothing of value regarding their actual history and conduct. That's from Kathy and Chile. So, yeah, I mean, David?
This is not going to surprise you, Evan, but it might surprise people out there. The judges were one of the number one things that got hits last year from your program.
I mean, it would have surprised me years ago.
I saw it right away, and I've seen this for years in local news. To some degree, you got to put yourself in the shoes of a voter, right? You're going out there, like Kathy said, it's very opaque. It's hard to find out who these people are. Oftentimes, you're busy. You're going to the polls. What do? You pull up your phone. Who is this person? What is this court position? What's the county clerk actually do? Those are the questions that we want to answer. And that's the type of copy we really prioritize. That's the information we're trying to get out there because I see the results every year. The school board was the same thing. So much interest in those school board candidates that you talk to. And, a lot of people think of that as kind of a pro forma race.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting, Jeremy Mole? School board is nonpartisan, or supposed to be nonpartisan, right? Mm-hmm. We don't see party affiliations, and yet it has become sort of divisive and pretty partisan. Whereas judgeships, the most common question I get from listeners anytime we have a program on this is people say, well, why does a judge have a political party next to their name? That is not for us to decide. We don't have all of the power, David has a lot of power. We're a very powerful person this hour, but we cannot control that. Definitely, to the extent that we can, we'll cover judgeships in those races. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As we find out who the candidates are, that's something we would like to fill in, just give a basic background. I think one of the things that winds up being frustrating to a lot of people in the public is the rules that sort of are around how judges can campaign. They're pretty limited in what they can say. It's basically they're limited to talking about their own background and accomplishments.
Well, and another aspect of this I think that is important is the very sort of nature of civics and how well-educated a populace we have. And I'm going to try to be the opposite of condescending guy. I don't want to be the guy who's like, well, people don't even know who their assembly member is. Like, how are we supposed to have a functioning society? I think a very fragmented news media has had a lot of deleterious effects on just basic civics. Now, some of that is on the individual, of course. I mean, I hope that people are educating themselves. But this elections hub that WXXI News has now that we're talking about this hour is the example, I think, of a kind of antidote for that. Because the more fragmented we get, the more my observation is people are seeking out less information and more confirmation of their biases. They want noise. They want loudness. We all know what can get easy clicks or et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't often end up being the kind of stuff where it's like, well, who's running for this judge position? Who's running for state assembly? What's their record, et cetera? So I think what we are doing here, what you are doing, is a bit of an antidote for that. Do you see it that way?
I think David actually can speak to this very well because he has he had some good points. We were talking about this earlier about the value of this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is the inspiration for what we're doing. In one sense, this is what newspapers did for decades. This is nothing new, but we did kind of get away from that. I think a lot of broadcast media prioritized the fighting stories, the exciting stories. And you see people started to tune that out. I don't think the average person doesn't want to know who's running. They just don't want to read the daily battle, or hear that on TV. KPCC, California Public Radio Station in LA area, they kind of pioneered this particular approach to it. Mary Plummer was their politics reporter, and they worked with Jennifer Brandel, a Chicago journalist, and Jay Rosen, the NYU journalism professor, to come up with a different model for elections coverage. I think they, I don't know what they called it that first year, but now it's called Citizens Agenda, Harkin. There's lots of terms for this, but essentially they're trying to find out what really matters to people in their area and then provide the information in all the places and all the ways that those people want to get it.
If I'm remembering correctly, because Rosen has been on this train for years and years now.
Yeah.
He's written about it. He's done plenty of interviews about it. And I think part of his argument, and I'm trying to summarize, David will kind of weigh in a second here, but I think part of his point is there becomes this like self-fulfilling prophecy. People assume that, well, the audience doesn't want information on races and candidates, and so they don't cover it. But when you ask people, they do. They want to be well-informed. They will tell you that they want to be well-informed, but they need places to find that information.
Absolutely true, and we see that in the data. You know, and I don't know what you're searching on Google, but I know in aggregate what people are looking for. You know, we can see across the nation people are searching for very specific information about local elections. We see it in this region, and I see it in the click results. You know, it's we think of clickbait as a negative thing. You have a terrible title, and you trick people into clicking it. You know, I would say this is just giving somebody what they want. And we see it because they click through to the story. The engagement is high. I can tell they're reading the stories. And, you know, it's easy to say doom and gloom and people don't want the info. But all the data we have shows us that they really do when we give it to them.
Well, let me give an example. A little bit of this is kind of pulling back the curtain, a little behind the scenes on how the media works. And I want to give an example of where I distinguish a line between clickbait versus being specific for your audience when they're looking for something. So just a few days ago, we had a conversation on Connections about the Rochester Academy of Medicine hosting an event tonight, maybe. I don't actually even remember. What is time even? But they are going to be addressing weight loss drugs, myths, truths, and you know, a lot of it's about Ozempic or Wegovy, mm-hmm. because that has been for the last 2 years this firestorm of interest in it from celebrities endorsing Wegovy and all this stuff. So, and then there's questions on what insurance covers and all this. So our initial headline for the conversation didn't include Ozempic or Wegovy. It was just about like weight loss fads and myths. And David suggested, hey, add that. And mm-hmm. So all we said was, you know, understanding weight loss truths and myths in the age of Ozempic. So Ozempic
is perfect. Yeah.
That's not clickbait. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
But for the people who are desperate for information on Ozempic or Wegovy, now they will more likely find it if they're searching for it.
Absolutely.
Clickbait would have been, will this thing kill you? Will this new drug kill you? And it's like, no, the president has been shot. But the president of what? Find out when we come back, like the old Simpsons joke.
Exactly.
That's clickbait.
And the thinking in online publishing has gone so far from clickbait. You're still going to see it out there, but the metrics are that it doesn't work very well. And what does work is being really honest and clear with the reader and giving them the reason to click in that headline. So, you know, weight loss myths, interesting. But a lot of people are looking for Ozempic. They want to know about Ozempic. You talked about Ozempic. You guys went in depth on it. That's useful information to a reader. So you get it right there for them to get in there. And it's the same thing with the election information. You know, you'll notice as you find these articles, if you're out there, you're going to see headlines that are, you know, Rochester City Court judge candidates. Why? Because that's the thing that the person is Googling. And I know that's what people want to read. So we're putting that right in there in the front.
Yeah, that's excuse me. That's one of the one of the things we tried to focus on in developing this site was giving people information that can really help them understand what candidates are talking about. So I give the example of we have some explainers on issues on the website, and I know that sounds simple, but when you stop and think about mental health as an example, people talk about mental health a lot in the mental health crisis and all that. But it often is done very vaguely. So I approached it as, well, what is the mental health crisis? How does this fit into the election? And so I set it up in terms of legislative spending. The state government is spending on a lot of money on mental health programs. But I also tied it into a Pew Research Center article that sort of breaks the crisis down into three more digestible chunks. And these are going to probably resonate with people a lot more than just general mental health. And that's youth mental health. We hear a lot about that. That's the Surgeon General's warning. The crisis around care for people with serious mental health problems and the opioid use and overdose epidemics. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the mental health crisis. And just spelled it out very quickly. These explainers do not take more than a minute to read. And hopefully they either give people what they need or serve as a jumping off point for them to find more information.
And then you can connect some of that to what you learn about the candidates right now. If you go to WXXINews.org/elections to find this new WXXI News election hub, you will find information on candidates running for different offices. As we get closer to Election Day, and especially as we get closer to November, we'll see longer profiles coming forth.
Yes, we will definitely be paying attention to, you know, the developments in these campaigns, profiles where necessary. Right now, we do have a profile up on the race for a assembly seat that covers the city's west side and Gates, and that's the Democratic primary between Taman Meeks and Willie Lightfoot for, again, an assembly seat.
And let me address another email. Do you want to jump in on that, David Strever?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we have such a strong bench of great journalists who know this area and the politics so well. You know, Jeremy, of course, Brian, Gino Finelli. And yeah, the plan is to connect these candidates and just what happens between now and November back to these key explainers. So if you go to one of those explainers now, there's a nice little carousel of, I think, six of them. Mm-hmm. Click through to public safety. Well, if there's a big development with bail reform, you're going to see it there. It's going to pop up in the related stories at the bottom. So that's where we're just trying to connect the facts, the details, the background to the news of the day. So it's not quite such a high pace, fast hitting type of environment.
Yeah. In addition to its own unique content, this hub will aggregate other stories that we do, and I think other stories from other parts of the state network, correct?
That's correct. State network and national. You know, if there's a story that has occasionally national, NPR does report on New York State, and we will bring those to you guys as well.
We're talking to Jeremy Mull, deputy editor at WXXI News, David Strever, director of digital product at WXXI, and Brian Sharp joining us in studio, investigations and enterprise reporter for WXXI News. Hello, sir. Thanks for being here. Do you also, before I get back to some listener feedback here, as we talk about the new WXXI Elections Hub, do you want to share with listeners a little bit of your thought about why this centralized place for the community is going to matter so much?
I think it's just, as I think some of the folks have been touching on, it's just a place. There's so many places to try and gather bits and pieces, but if you want to go and find out about your candidate and then find out about, you know, Jeremy was just talking about the mental health issue. Find out some background to have a working knowledge to evaluate what their positions are. So one of the pieces I wrote for this was about jobs or workforce development, which everybody can agree they're for, but then you get to the different positions. Well, are you for training or are you for the wraparound workforce development involves taking care of transportation and childcare and all of those things, and kind of where we're going and how the different programs overlap and such so that, you can approach both finding out who your candidates are, but also finding out a little bit more about the issues to assess their positions.
Let me read an email from a listener named Charles who says the following. He says, is this tool going to understand the issues and candidates in elections, or is it going to help us understand what WXXI wants me to understand about issues and candidates? Like it or not, nothing in Mr. Berliner's essay was shocking to me, and I haven't seen a lot of evidence that WXXI is significantly different than how he describes the main NPR hub. Well, for starters, Charles, I just read your email, and I hope that that indicates that I think it's valuable to have good discourse about everything from how we cover something to why we're covering it to why we're not covering something else to identifying, possible perspective or bias. I'm not a big fan of the clamoring for the days of Cronkite because he was the objective journalist. Walter Cronkite was not objective because he was human. Human beings are not objective. Human beings can be aware. The key is to be self-aware of your own biases and then try to report and cover the news, the community, in a way that is self-aware. If you're looking for a perfectly objective talk show host, you're listening to the wrong person, but you will not find that. I'm trying to be as fair as I can be. When it comes to Berliner's essay, I read it. I thought there were some good points there. Part of the problem I had with the essay was that some of it was just sort of factually bunk, and it was sort of so easily debunked, but it was such catnip for people who want to attack NPR. Some of it was probably fair, and then a lot of it, I think, was just kind of clumsy. But he'd be welcome on this program anytime. I would love to have Yuri Berliner here, Charles. And all of which is to say, you know, you're coming from a conservative mindset. If you're looking for, like, conservative coverage of elections, you'll find it somewhere. You're not – this is not conservative or liberal or progressive coverage of elections. This is WXXI coverage. And what he's asking is, you know, like, what does that mean? Is that slanted or bent, et cetera? I think it's a fair question, but it's not the opposite of whatever you are, Charles. But go ahead, Jeremy.
Sure. I think a good response to this might be the way we developed the six issues that we were focused on with the explainers. These weren't ones that we said these are important to us. These are issues we have heard people talking about for months or years. We're talking, you know, mental health, as I mentioned. Public safety issues, climate issues, workforce development. I'm missing one or two.
Housing
affordability. Housing is
and school funding. Yeah. The state model for that.
Yeah,
I mean, like you're saying though, this is stuff that people go to public meetings and say this matters to them, yeah. Right? And then we see in the back end, we see people searching for this information, and not for nothing, but there's a big feedback form right there in the election hub. And we want the feedback. We want to hear from everybody. I don't care who you're voting for. I don't think anyone in this building cares who anyone else is voting for. We just want to give you the information that you're looking for. And if Charles could write in and say this is the type of information I want, I guarantee you, Charles, it'll get on there. If you've got questions, send them in. I'm reading all of that feedback and sharing it back with the reporters.
Well, and I think this also goes back, I mean, to do the information explainers, it's to help you be an informed voter. It's not telling you this is the position you should take. It's to be able to understand sort of the landscape to then know if your candidate is speaking with knowledge about a topic or to be able to ask them better questions about, well, what is your position? How would you respond to folks who say it should be, you know, this other angle that you're not addressing? And I think it goes back to when we were figuring out how to create this, there was some discussion about, well, do we go down the path that we've seen people with, you know, the fact checks, which ultimately, if you want to speak to the I think a lot of people, you know, there's some folks, I shouldn't say a lot of, some folks think those are biased, but inevitably you're picking which ones to fact check. This is not going and saying, you know, we can post what people then talk about and connect them to these, but these are just backgrounders to understand, you know, okay, if this person says, we're not funding schools to this level and, you know, it hasn't changed for 150 years, and you can go and see, like, well, what are they talking about? Oh, okay, well, there's some facts that they're missing. And you can do that evaluation yourself.
Well, just to that point, you can do the evaluation yourself. I want to connect that back to something that Evan just said, which is the reader can do this work for themselves too. You know, I think it's very interesting, the questions about bias. I think there's a lot of academic interest in this. It's theoretically interesting. But as a reader, you know, everyone out there, the people listening to this, you're informed people. You can go read the work and judge for yourself. And I would just say, having been on the back end of so many editorial processes, I've never once heard anyone bring up kind of political considerations. You know, there's with this project, there were six or seven of us in the room, and the types of questions, the considerations that came up were, do we think people care about this? Do we think this is interesting? What do we have to prove that someone wants to know about this? And That's kind of how the editing process works. It's a lot of conversation about why we're doing it and what it means.
I'll just add that this is a this project, this idea, is something we started planning months ago. This is not just something we threw together with little thought in a few weeks. Like, we talked out a lot of stuff. We threw out some ideas that we thought we wanted to do and brought in some new ones that we think might work. And, you know, it's just it's really the same as a lot of other product development processes.
Tim wants to know if you're going to be covering public safety and bail reform. There's literally a section on public safety that starts mm-hmm. with the question of bail reform, if I'm remembering correctly.
That's correct. Yeah.
He may be looking for more in-depth information, which is great. We do have some older stories on both WXXINews.org and RockCityMag.com about bail reform over the years. And it's likely that it's going to come up more during this election, and that would make it a contender for further coverage. It's tough to say anything for certain right now that we're going to do because November is a long ways off, but we do have room for a lot of flexibility still, too.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, and maybe getting back to also the previous email, is a lot of these have links to original source documents, to previous stories, so that you can kind of go down the rabbit hole, so to speak, as much as you want. But I also wanted to say, though, while I ended off last time saying the reader can go do the work, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be doing critical reporting, you know, and asking people those questions and holding them. We're not going to, you know, back off of our job. But this is really what I look at it as, is sort of providing that sort of landing space for reporters to, or to reporters, to citizens to get educated on the topics that, because, you know, that they might not know that much about.
Charles follows up, by the way, to say, I'm just looking for coverage of elections that is not presented as truth if I can disprove it through experience, research, et cetera. Well, good. Everyone agrees with that, Charles.
That's
and
great.
We welcome feedback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you see something
that
you're in there and you're like, you know, because I mean, like with the workforce, I talked to people who are involved in programs. I didn't just, you know, pull this all from... I went out and spoke to folks about what all, you know, what was being discussed, what were the issues, what was upcoming, what they expected, you know, so this is sort of a read on also what's going on currently.
After we take our only break of the hour, I've got a few more emails I want to get through, and I want to talk to our guests, my colleagues from WXXI, talking about the new WXXI News Election Hub, which you can find at WXXINews.org/elections. I want to talk about some of the decisions that are going to have to be made before November when it comes to our coverage. And again, we're not talking at all about the presidential race, right? I mean, we're talking about everything else that's on your ballot. But we do still want to know from you what you want. I want to talk to David Strever, our director of digital product here, about how we continue to try to get good data on what the public wants, what that looks like. What is the Facebook effect on you know, what the public wants and consumes, but, you know, how it affects search and how you find it? How do you get traffic? How does this work? I mean, how are we going to measure success of this? So there's a lot to talk about here. Listeners, when we talk about elections, if you want to call the program, I'd still love to hear from you, 844-295-TALK. What do you want for in terms of coverage of elections from WXXI News, from your local media? It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. We're right back after this short break. Coming up in our second hour, Fire Through Dry Grass is a documentary that tells the story of what it was like, what it was truly like inside an under-resourced nursing home during the pandemic in that first year in New York City. What it was like when COVID was spreading, when people were living amongst others with COVID, when there was nowhere to go, and the governor was saying that New York was doing a great job. That is next hour. Thanks for being back with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Jeremy Moll, Brian Sharp, David Strever, all with us here on WXXI, here on Connections. And we're talking to you about the new WXXI News Elections Hub. It's WXXINews.org/elections. Here's what I want to focus on next year. Listener wrote in asking if debates are going to be part of election coverage and on the Election Hub. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because there's a difference between what we're doing on Connections, where we try to bring candidates together. We do try with the Voice of the Voter and WXXI News to do debate coverage. And then there's a question of what the Election Hub will include, et cetera. Jeremy, do you want to start there?
Sure. I think this is a... going to toot our own horn here for a second.
Okay.
I think this is a lovely part of WXXI News, is that we have several different sort of aspects to it. We have the website, we have the radio, we have Connections, and those are all present different opportunities for covering an election, right? So as we line up any debates, if we're able to, those will definitely find a place on this hub.
And it happens. I just want to be direct with listeners that probably more than you know, we are trying to pull candidates together for debates. And we're not even just talking about, you know, federal races. We're talking about state races. Sometimes we're talking about county races, county clerk, county executive, et cetera. We've hosted plenty. In my perception, and let me ask Jeremy and Brian a little bit about this before David will kind of weigh in on this too. My perception is it's getting harder to convince candidates to come together for debates.
I don't disagree.
They will tell you that they know that they've got platforms that they can get to voters. They want to use their own platforms. A past elected official locally told us outright, we don't need you. We know how to reach people directly without, you know, the filtration of journalistic questions. We were told that. And so we're doing our best. We are absolutely invested in doing as many as we can. And when we do it, it will be posted and shared. Just know that if you're not seeing a whole lot of that, it's not because there's not an effort. I think a little bit is the landscape has changed. Yeah?
I would agree with that entirely.
Brian?
Yeah. No, I mean, we see that in just, you know, candidate being able to reach candidates to just talk about the issues. You see some candidates continuing to participate and other candidates figuring that, yeah, they can use their social media, their whatever avenues, and what that they have more control over.
One thing they'll do, David, is they'll say, well, they'll just push us to their website. I don't know if people are clicking on candidate websites. Maybe they are. I don't know.
I don't think they are. And actually, this gets to that whole heart of how people find this information. You know, there's a big technological disruption, the internet, and then social media that did kind of, it did away with the local debate. This is, I've come here from another newsroom in Richmond, Virginia, and before that, New Haven, Connecticut. We dealt with the same stuff there. It's not a local problem. It's a global problem at this point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of candidates correctly for several years thought, well, I can get out my unfiltered views. That's changed. You know, as these social media platforms matured, they started putting more filters, more controls, more gatekeeping. I would say what you're seeing in your social media feed is far more filtered than anything you're getting from your local NPR station at this point.
Isn't that interesting?
There's actually a limit now. You and I talked about this before. There's a limit now on political content. That's so broadly defined and so not publicly defined that we don't actually know what the limits are. But we do know election content, candidates running for office. Unless you're paying money on Facebook to get that info out, and a lot of money, it's not going anywhere. We could see kind of the results. Even when I post a news story from our newsroom that's not even remotely political or biased, but it happens to mention city council, that's kind of enough to get that effect where the Facebook will tell you the reach of the story. You used to get 5,000 people. Now it's 5 people, 15 people. So that's
my goodness.
It's a huge challenge for anyone in news publishing that this social media company came and took all of our content and now doesn't want to show our content to anyone anymore. But we've gone back.
Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg.
We've gone back to search. You know, we're kind of going, the disruption has kind of gone back the other way now, where even though Facebook doesn't want to show this stuff and Mark Zuckerberg got cold feet after the January incident, right? That was kind of a big moment for him where he turned off the news spigot. We know people still want it. We see the search engine traffic, and that's why we've prioritized that reach for this.
All right, let me get Robert and Roy on the phone. They've been waiting. Robert first, then we'll take Roy next. Go ahead, Robert.
Hello. I have a couple of comments. First, this is great. I wish we'd had it for the primary ahead a couple of months ago. It would be helpful. I just looked at your site. It would be helpful to have a link somehow or so that you can find out what districts you're in, because you list it by district, and people might not know what the number of their legislative district is or that kind of thing. And the other point is that so many of the links are to Facebook. Not everybody does Facebook. So when it says Facebook only, it kind of tells me to go away.
Okay, good feedback here. Robert, hang there for 1 second. Jeremy?
Sure.
Will do.
Robert, one thing for you. There is a way to get to the county's voter lookup tool from the site. I believe, David, it's in the introductory text on the front page.
I am so glad you called and said this, because I'm realizing it's in the copy. You know, it's like it's written in there, but it's not very obvious, you know, and that's just some great real world feedback where I can, I will go in later today and I will make sure it's very obvious how you look up your district, because you're dead on with that.
Yep.
Anything else, Robert?
Let's get the Facebook comment
Hold on, go ahead, Jeremy.
As for the Facebook part of it, not all of the candidates have or have websites or had websites that we're able to find. So including either both the Facebook page and the website or just the Facebook page was just, presenting what we could offer.
Well, right back to what Evan was saying before, so many candidates don't even have websites anymore, but we contact them and they say, this is the only thing I use is Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've linked to it. I would much rather not just link to Facebook, but it's unfortunate a lot of candidates have foregone any other
traditional
presence.
Website. Yes, yeah. And they are using Facebook. Go ahead, Robert.
I would just say, you may give us whatever link you want, but for me as a voter who doesn't do Facebook, that tells me to go away.
I hear you there, and I think candidates should hear that. I think campaigns should hear that. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. I mean, that is great feedback, because David Strever is right. The amount of times we'll have a candidate on this program and we'll say, we always ask candidates, no matter who they are, share your website, tell people how to find you. And it is a growing list that says, well, we've got a Facebook presence. That's it.
And I would say, if there are any candidates or people working with candidates who are listening right now and they see that their candidate has a website that is not listed on our hub, get in contact with us. We'll put it in there.
One other quick note on this before I grab Roy's call. It seems to me that there is kind of a correlation, and I know the correlation is not causation, but there seems to be a relationship, I'll put it that way, to the idea that that younger adults don't vote or vote less often. And we know that it's true, but campaigns kind of giving up on them by saying, we're going to use Facebook, because I think it's against the law if you're under 25 to use Facebook. I mean, I think I don't think it's against the law, but it's viewed as like the older person's social media.
It is older person's social. Yeah, it really is.
Talk to an 18-year-old. Numbers, like, they may have a Facebook page, but they're like, that's where my parents and grandparents are. So I think that campaigns, whether they know it or not, are kind of declaring younger voters less important by only being on Facebook.
Yeah, and just anecdotally, I'm a journalist. I'm on Facebook. Facebook does not show me any content from elected officials, from political candidates, from news sites. And my searches across the internet and Facebook would tell you that that's the stuff I want to see. So that just, it's mind blowing to me how little of this Facebook is actually letting through.
We have really given a lot of power to that company. And I don't think I know anybody who's like, boy, I love it. It's so good. It just works exactly how I want.
I've got a second website update because of Roy's call. Thank you, Roy. I'm going to note, if the campaign website is a Facebook, I'm just going to note that next to the link, Facebook link. Just so you know, just so if you're the Roy's out there or the me's who don't like going on Facebook, if I click this, it's going to take me right to Facebook, which I don't like going on.
That was Robert. Thank you, Robert.
Let's get
Roy next here. Yep, Roy in Rochester. Hey, Roy, go ahead.
Hi. I don't know, I might have missed part of this. I had to do something. In fact, I saw you this weekend. You posted Stephen Cady's goodbye. I almost wish a guy like that was in running for some office. we had him for a brief moment, and maybe we'll hear more about him. But I'm wondering, why is the New York presidential kind of primary so late as to not even bump the rubble? And the other question would be locally. Is the district attorney's office on the ballot whenever we get to vote?
The district attorney is not up for election this year.
So, Roy, we'll take that backwards. Sandra Dorley, the district attorney, is I understand why you're bringing that up, that highly publicized incident that became national news. But voters won't get a say in that right now. That if you want that settled this year, that's going to have to be up to the state. And there's still some confusion because this body that's supposed to convene to investigate hadn't really done anything before. So state leaders will tell you that they're kind of waiting and seeing as well. They've been told it could take 8 months. And I joked last week that Great Britain called an election, and they're going to do it on July 4th. They're going to do it in 6 weeks. It's going to take us 8 months to figure out if the district attorney should stay in the job. So that may not satisfy you, Roy. That's the situation there. You brought up Stephen Cady. If you don't know who Stephen Cady is, he is the outgoing pastor of Asbury First United Methodist Church, obviously the biggest local Methodist congregation. He and his family are moving to Texas, and he's been on this program a number of times. The Methodist Church has had a worldwide split over LGBTQ rights and issues, and Reverend Cady was the one at Asbury First to preside over the first local same-sex marriage in the Methodist Church, but he is leaving town. That is true. The other question was why New York State's presidential primary is so late. I mean, I don't have money. Anybody know?
I don't have a good answer for that.
I'm not inside. I don't know. Brian, best guess?
No idea. I came from Iowa, and I will tell you before here, and right. I will tell you that that is a show. I mean, you get to see the candidates so many times. They know you on a first-name basis, and you kind of get tired that they're here for the third time in, you know, 2 weeks.
How many corn dogs do the candidates eat, would you say?
I mean, they go to your local restaurants. They show up at your fairs. They're at the mall, you name it. So, but if I'm not mistaken, they lost their first— I can't remember where
for the
it's
Democrats,
like every
they
year.
Did. For the Republicans, yeah. The Republicans kept their calendar the same. The Democrats have switched it up a bit. And I don't know, Roy, if the parties are going to continue to make changes. Republicans haven't made changes yet. I am annoyed, Brian Sharp, that your former state always got the first crack and then New Hampshire. And I'm going, these are some pretty small, really narrow states here with a lot of nominating power. So, you know, I just want you to know that. Like some resentment.
I remember Kasich was running, if you remember that name.
Yeah, Ohio Governor John Kasich?
I think it was Kasich. No. I'm forgetting the name. It wasn't Kasich. It was Kucinich. That's who I'm thinking about. And Kucinich would come so many times that it was hard to justify going out again.
Well, anyway, an embarrassment of riches. Although, you know, with Biden and Trump on the ballot, being, you know, if you look at polling, not popular. I don't know if you'd want Donald Trump and Joe Biden at the Lilac Festival. You know, maybe you wouldn't, maybe. But I do think that it's not a great system. That is outside the scope of what we're talking about. I appreciate it, Roy. What we are talking about is the new WXXI News Election Hub. You'll find it right now. It's live. WXXINews.org/elections. Kathy in Chilai writes to say, I agree with the comments about Facebook. I'm 70, and I'll poke myself in the eye with a pen before I let Zuckerberg have my information. I got off Twitter when Elon bought it also. Kathy and Chad, please don't poke yourself in the eye with a pen. We can't advise that.
We need you to have that eye to read our site.
That's right. I mean, it's helpful.
And then to type questions and messages to us in that feedback. I really do want to encourage listeners, if you're out there, if you have any questions about the election, particularly local, you know, we could try to handle the national, but that might be a little bit off our scope of expertise. But on those local levels, send the questions in. Forms right there.
Patrick says, people that actually have something to say will go on a talk radio show. People that don't have anything to say and dodge debates, they dodge smart questions. They dodge any opportunity to actually put themselves out there that doesn't fit their fancy. I mean, that's an opinion you're allowed to have, that I will just say that's okay. Let's not press that point. Isaac writes to say, thanks for making nuanced coverage of candidates a priority at WXXI News. I have long relied on the League of Women Voters coverage of candidates for covering local candidates. And only now I'm finding out about WXXI's coverage. How will WXXI's coverage compare with the League's coverage? Has there been any consideration toward collaborating with the League of Women Voters? That's from Isaac.
I can't really directly compare what we're doing to the League of Women Voters coverage. I just haven't seen what they're doing this year. But again, our aim was to make a nice, thorough, centralized hub for people to come to and find information on their candidates, on issues that their candidates might be talking about, even figure out, you know, what district they're in, where they, you know, who's on the ballot for them, where they go to vote, you know, how they get an absentee ballot, how they get a mail-in ballot, because that's new this year. So that's really what we focused on.
And I'm outside of those I'd say that's kind of an editorial decision, which I sit outside of. You know, I'm more on the business tech end of this. And, you know, maybe if there are a bunch of local orgs doing some type of guides, we could click, you know, we could just link to them or something. But you know, we'll all talk about that. That's a good question. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great feedback this hour on this new WXXI News Election Hub. And what it really does tell me is it affirms maybe my stubborn belief that it's important not to become cynical about the American electorate. It's important to remember that people just want good information, and then to make their own educated decisions. That is coming to them in many forms through WXXI because we have many platforms. But this centralized hub now, I hope, is becoming your go-to. I hope you – is that an old term, David, to bookmark it? Do people bookmark anymore? Is that a thing?
I bookmark sites I don't think most people do anymore, but you should bookmark it. And if you don't bookmark it, just go to WXXINews.org every day and see everything we're doing. Because we, you know, we publish 4 or 5 stories a day, every day, all about your local community. And many of those stories could help you as you go to the ballot box.
Yeah. So there's WXXINews.org and the new hub. You'll find it at WXXINews.org/elections. So Jeremy, Brian, as we go toward November, how will you make decisions on what gets added to the hub? What is that going to be like, Jeremy?
I would say it lines up nicely with the standard news decision-making process, where if something happens, we discuss it, figure out if it's, you know, newsworthy, if there's public interest, and you know, go from there. When candidates are fighting about something, it's probably time for us to maybe step in and do something.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, looking at the standard fare for election coverage, following the money, campaign finance, keeping tabs on – actually, I just sent a note. Maybe we'll consider a – I don't think we have a calendar function, but thinking of the League of Women Voters, they have town halls and different mm-hmm. events of ways that folks can get out and see their candidates. So I think this is an evolving thing, you know, and I guess going back again, we encourage reader feedback. If there's things you want to see, if there's questions you have, we're always open to that.
In our last couple of minutes, I just want to mention one other aspect that you will notice if you go to the election hub now at WXXINews.org. There are a number of races that are uncontested. Now, that's true all the time. I mean, that, and it's pretty predictable. You're rarely going to find a pretty evenly contested electoral district where one party is running, one party is not. And we're talking about the two major parties, of course, but I mean, I don't mean to disrespect any other parties. In the city of Rochester, we often don't see Republicans run. In more deeply red rural areas, we often don't see Democrats run. There are some districts around here that I was surprised not to see a contender, but Jeremy Moll said before the program began, you know, I mean, we are so gerrymandered and it is so difficult for, so if you're the Democratic Party in a super red district, or if you're the Republican Party in the city of Rochester and you're going, am I going to invest money and resources? A bias that I have is that I like to see choice. I want to see, I know it's an uphill battle, but I want to see choice because it is a fallacy to think, well, in rural red America, in the southern tier of New York, there's no Democrats. There's thousands of Democrats, and they often feel left out. It's a fallacy to say there's no Republicans in Rochester. They often feel like their voice is left out. So I just want to see choice, even if it's going to be a lopsided number. But there's plenty of uncontested races, aren't there?
There are. And, you know, as you were saying, I don't want to see uncontested races either. You know, I live in this community. I want to see people talk about their ideas for it.
Absolutely.
And I want to see it be open and direct. But, you know, at the same time, political parties function like households in a way. You have a budget, you have a certain
yeah,
amount
right.
of money,
that's right.
and you got to figure out where it makes sense to put your money, where it makes sense to put your time and resources.
We have seen some really surprising election results, right, where safe counties went a different way, where we realized maybe the voters actually are more open to changing their minds and less ideological driven than we think. And I just, you know, I always look at like those national election maps with all red, all blue. No place is all red or all blue,
that's
right?
There's a mix. That's such an important point. I mean, that's such an important point. And wherever listeners are hearing our voices today, from most of the way to Buffalo, up to Toronto, on the app in on the West Coast, all the way down to Ithaca. I mean, I really think if you're in a county where you're not in the majority dominant party, it can be very frustrating. And your voice deserves to be heard. So doesn't matter what party you're in. So I appreciate that. It's WXXINews.org/elections. David Strever, Director of Digital Product at WXXI. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Jeremy Moll, Deputy Editor at WXXI News. This is great stuff. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, great being here.
Brian Sharp, Investigations Enterprise Reporter. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Former Iowan, Iowa. More connections coming up.